From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. Tentative support for a Syrian ceasefire grows. Damascus Tuesday announced its acceptance of a proposed U.S.-Russian cessation of hostilities to get underway Saturday, but warned continued outside assistance to rebels must stop. The main Saudi-backed opposition has already agreed to the truce conditionally, demanding, among other things, an end to blockades and airstrikes on civilians. In Washington Tuesday, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry told lawmakers the ceasefire must work.
The only way forward that preserves a unified Syria is the path envisioned by the Syria Support Group, ratified by the UN Security Council, and endorsed by the responsible opposition. And that requires a de-escalation of the conflict, a transition to a new system of governance, a new constitution, an election, and hopefully a Syria that could be committed to peace and stability with its neighbors and within itself.
Kerry cautioned the ceasefire could fall apart, and if it does, contingency plans are in the works.
Assad himself is going to have to make some real decisions about the formation of a transitional governance process that's real. If there isn't, as you've read in the newspapers and are probably hearing, there are certainly Plan B options being considered.
Details of such a plan are sketchy, but could involve more direct U.S. and allied military involvement. U.N. Secretary General Ban Ki-moon visited a refugee camp in Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo Tuesday, calling for greater efforts to care for the tens of millions of displaced people around the world. The U.N. chief is to meet President Joseph Kabila Wednesday. In Burundi Tuesday, he said President Pierre Nkurunziza agreed to begin talks with the opposition to bring an end to a nearly year-long political crisis. Mr. Nkurunziza said he's releasing political prisoners as a gesture of goodwill. This is VOA News. President Obama Tuesday urged Congress to close the military detention center at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. He said its existence doesn't advance U.S. national security, and closing it could save money.
Guantanamo harms our partnerships with allies and other countries whose cooperation we need against terrorism. Moreover, keeping this facility open is contrary to our values. It undermines our standing in the world. It is viewed as a stain on our broader record of upholding the highest standards of rule of law.
Many lawmakers are opposed to the relocation of dozens of terrorist suspects on U.S. soil. The White House has left open the possibility Mr. Obama could use an executive order to close Guantanamo, paving the way for a potential legal challenge. The senior U.S. naval officer in the Pacific warned U.S. lawmakers Tuesday that China is building up its military capability in the contested South China Sea. Admiral Harry Harris testifying before the Senate Armed Services Committee.
In my opinion, China is clearly militarizing the South China Sea, and you'd have to believe in a flat earth to think otherwise.
China, which claims sovereignty over most of the South China Sea, insists these are necessary defensive facilities. New reports indicate that China has deployed warplanes to Woody Island and the Paracels. China's Foreign Minister Wang Yi, in Washington for talks with U.S. officials, complained Tuesday other countries are illegally occupying Chinese reefs and atolls and engaged in long-scale military construction. Meanwhile, diplomats say both China and the U.S. made significant progress on a new U.N. Security Council resolution for tougher measures against North Korea for its recent nuclear and missile tests. Direct peace talks between the Afghan government and Taliban-led insurgent groups are expected to start by the first week of March. Pakistan has offered to host the negotiations. The announcement followed a meeting Tuesday in Kabul of diplomats from Afghanistan, Pakistan, China, and the U.S. The death toll from Saturday's Cyclone Winston has climbed to at least 42 on the island archipelago of Fiji. The number of fatalities has grown as communications on remote islands are being restored. Thousands are still being sheltered in evacuation centers after the storm, which packed winds in excess of 300 kilometers per hour. A small plane carrying more than 20 people had disappeared while flying over Nepal Wednesday. The twin-engine Otter aircraft lost contact with ground controllers after taking off from Pokhara, a major tourist center. Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta has named a tribunal to investigate the conduct of Supreme Court Judge Philip Tunoi, who faces allegations of corruption. It involves the judge's alleged acceptance of a bribe in a case that challenges the election victory of the Nairobi governor. Tunoi has professed his innocence. British nurse Pauline Cafferty back in London Hospital after recovering twice before from Ebola virus that she contracted while working in Sierra Leone. I'm Victor Beatty.
That's the latest world news from VOA.